Blog Talk Radio.
If God erased according to the Bible,
I like it.
Deuteronomy 7:6, he said, for thou art a holy people. The Lord thy God has chosen thee, you Israelites, be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth.
Yes, your Allah.
I came into this truth bearing my soul like Paul to Damascus. Now I'm on the block wearing my robe to call on the masses to repent and turn back to the ways of the Most High. Federalities in the midst of us watching with close eyes, cause they know the power in this word. For those dry bones, agents, they infiltrate us, but this a no-fly zone. Fearing no man, no evil come up against us winning, unless you in the midst of sinning. Keep the commandments. You want wisdom? Seek understanding. We Hebrew Israelites, we keep laws while banging on Esau. Educated, no tuition required, debate your top scholars. What's a chihuahua to a Rockwalla? Yahweh, Bahashim, Yahweh Shah, Barakathah, Mishpachah. Pray you heathens and cowards die a thousand deaths to the two-thirds cast in the lake of fire. All because you hate the Messiah. Liars, your second death is eternal. The book of life, you ain't written in, cause you was never sick of sin. Wild since a child going round on your sit and spin. You was purpose for wickedness as a captive. That's why you still a Baptist, Protestant, a Methodist, Jehovah wickedness, Pentecostal, that's your testament. Seventh day Adventist, non-denomination, no matter the title, still an idol, all abomination. Come on.
Hebrews on the rise, and ain't nobody stopping the words of these prophets. Sit back and just watch.
GMS. Why y'all hating on me, placing false accusations on me, making videos assuming I be with the Illuminati, bearing false witness, only proving you ain't godly. Now back to my real groove, who's showing love like the real should and real do. We stand united as a nation, we fighting the vaccination of false teachers to poison the minds of the lost sheep, and it's a tragedy. Our leaders like the Pharisees and Sadducees, who happily practicing blasphemy like in the Maccabees. Sold us out for masses' approval, lacking no scruples. Man, I can't wait till it's off of the head with you Judases. If only you could just measure the anger that's inside of me. For America's crimes and its current state of sodomy, pushed on the people, God's chosen, hooked on this evil doing. I'm blaming self and them crackers that wanna see us ruined. Just know the fire of Obadiah closing the chapter, exposing it faster than his death from explosive disaster of nuclear thermal war. The whole world to see. Alas, the fall of Babylon, World War III.
Oh, you interviewed me, never mind. I'm unmuted, right? Do you want to just switch? Hello?
Hello?
That's from my phone.
All right, we're just gonna go. We're just gonna go.
I hear you now.
Oh, you can? Hello, hello. Shalom, shalom. Now it's working. All right, cool. Okay, then. Where did we leave up with yesterday when we were here?
Yesterday.
And where is everybody?
I think Argon is taking a sit. I think he's still on the route. I don't know what Armand is doing. I saw the map. I thought Armand was done already, but I'm not sure. He may still be on the route. I'm not sure. You should have called or something. Him and Jalil. And then I don't know where the two boys are. Are they at your parents' house?
Yeah.
They're probably just at dawn. Oh. I know he's in the bathroom dying. His stomach has been killing him all day today, so I've just been like, nah, it's cool.
He just had me today, sir.
I'm just kidding.
Okay. We finished with...
I didn't get the very last scripture from yesterday. Isaiah 51:2.
Okay, right. How about Genesis 25:1-6?
I got Genesis 17, and then whatever you had far reading, I think.
Okay, well, I guess we can go ahead and pick up with Genesis 25:1-6. And Jim from yesterday's class. Well, let me do this. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 3 and 4.
Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 3. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he.
Hold on one second. So I'm sorry. Let me start with 7. Everybody, please correct your notes. We're going to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 7. I'm sorry, verse 7.
Deuteronomy 32, verse 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee.
All right, cool. And again, this is why the Bible was written. All right, that we might get a record of our forefathers. We might get a record from their actual eyewitness accounts of what things they actually experienced with the Most High, with God. This is what the Bible gives us. Okay, so it gives us our history, and also gives us the prophecies concerning the nation of Israel. In a nutshell, both are going to be if I was going to paraphrase or really give a shortcut to what we've been doing this past 4 days. When you first read the Bible, when you open the Bible up, starting at Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3 give you creation, right? It gives you how the earth was created, the sun, moon, and stars, the planets, all the animals, and even the nations, how they were created, how the week was created, the first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, what have you. That's the first three chapters of Genesis. When you come into the fourth and fifth chapters of Genesis, third, fourth, and fifth chapters of Genesis, you have a more detailed view of Adam and his generations and his seed. From Adam to you have the murder of Abel from his brother Cain, and then you have the establishing of Cain and his empires and kingdoms that he ruled over. And then you have the royal seed established through Seth. Then you read through Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5 through 11, you have a continuation of Adam's seed, the royal lineage that he established, until you get down to Noah. Then from Genesis chapter 6 through 10, you have the story of the flood and the destruction of all mankind, except for Noah's three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. From there, Genesis chapter 10, you have, from Genesis chapter 10 through 12, you have the birth of going from Noah down to Abram, or who became known as Abraham. And then from Genesis chapter 12, all the way through the rest of the Bible, the Bible is only dealing with Abraham and his seed. From Genesis chapter 12 all the way through. From Genesis chapter 12 to Genesis chapter 17, you have the birth of Isaac, Abraham's son Isaac. Then in Genesis chapter 25, you have the birth, and that's what we're going to go over tonight. You have the birth of Jacob, Isaac's son. From that point on, Genesis chapter 25, again, this is the very beginning of the Bible. From the 25th chapter of Genesis through the rest of the Bible is only concerning Jacob and his 12 sons and their seed, their history, their laws, their covenants, their statutes, their culture, their rise and their downfall, and their expulsion out of the promised land. And then subsequently, the Redeemer or the Savior coming in Jesus Christ, when we get to the New Testament, and the prophecies concerning Christ saving this nation of Israel, Christ saving this seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob from this destruction. And that really is the Bible in a nutshell. To take the mystery out of the Bible, to take the mystery out of what it is, if you're going to break the Bible down in its simplest form, Genesis chapter 12, you have the birth of Abraham. Genesis chapter 17, you have the birth of Isaac. Genesis chapter 25, you have the birth of Jacob. And from that point on, that's the Bible's only dealing with that seed. The Bible's only dealing with those people, and in the captivities that they had to endure, the rise and fall, the salvation from, if it was King David at one time, if it was the judges with Samson at another time, if it was Zerubbabel, who had the Book of Judges, Joshua coming into the conquest of the Promised Land. The whole rest of the Bible is only dealing with those people. It's only dealing with God's promise to the man Abraham, that from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, God was only going to be the God of this particular people. And that's one thing we're going over right now, okay? So just continue to back that up. This is why we're reading Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 7, where it says, remember the days of old. That we want to remember how God did things, how God does things. Because one thing, another scripture we're about to read also, is God don't change. And this is the because of religion, a lot of people think God has changed. Because of the teaching of religion, but not the teaching of the Bible, they believe God has changed his mind about their chosen people, about who they are, and that now there's this concept that God loves everybody. But the whole Bible, as we're going to really try to discover and bring out, it's only dealing with the descendants of Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. And that's it. So it says in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 7, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. When we say many generations, what were the chosen generations of Adam? Coming all the way down to Noah. After Noah, who became the chosen generation? It went to Shem. And then from generations, it went down to Abraham. And then from Abraham to Isaac, then Isaac to Jacob. It says, consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. That how did God deal with our elders? How did God deal with us? And that's what, again, that's what the purpose of the Bible is here for. So we might understand who we actually are and God's purpose and our plan. Because one thing a lot of people get confused is, what's God's plan for me? What's God's purpose for me? What's my purpose? Why am I here? Why did God create me? Well, as we're going to live through some of these scriptures, God created the Israelites to be his ambassadors, to be his representatives on earth, made in his likeness, to keep his laws, his statutes, his example on the earth, to govern the earth with his laws, his statutes, and his judgments, so that the earth would run in harmony, so that the earth would be in peace, so we wouldn't have extinct animals, extinct plant life, extinct or polluted air, water, or what have you, or even minds of people, that this particular people was established to be God's ambassadors on the earth, all right? And I know if you only come from a religious background, that might sound kind of racist. That might seem prejudicial. And because you've been taught a negative connotation about being a racist, or what that means to be racist, to be a racist means you're for your people. America is for Americans. That's why there's a military. And the military is established to protect the American way of life. Nobody would consider that to be racist. And if anybody wanted to come against the American way of life, again, that's why there's an army established to protect and defend the American way of life. Well, to come back now and realize that we are Israelites, that is our God-given nationality. That is our God-given truth. That's our God-given lineage. To not want to protect that or be for that, or for the promotion of that culture, it'd be no different than as we just celebrated the 4th of July. Why was the 4th of July just celebrated? For the promotion of the American lifestyle, the American culture, the American way of living. And nobody would consider that to be racist. They come back and acknowledge and find out that we are the Israelites and want to promote the Israelite way of living, the Israelite culture, the Israelite doctrine, the Constitution. It's the same thing. It's the exact same thing, okay? So we went over the birth of Abraham and God choosing him. Let's go ahead and get now. Let's go to Genesis 25. This is one of the scriptures we finished with yesterday. We're going to reread it. Genesis chapter 25, we'll start at verse 1. We're going to read 1 through 6. It's all good, Char.
This is 25 verse 1. Then again, Abraham took a wife. Her name was Keturah.
Right, so we know that Abraham had, consequently, Abraham had three, for lack of a better term, baby's mamas, all right? That his first son, Ishmael, his mother was Hagar, the Egyptian handmaid. She was Sarah's handmaid. And when Sarah was barren and could not get pregnant, what Sarah did was gave Abraham her female servant to have kids with. Because she just would not get pregnant. So when Abraham and Hagar consummated, she had a baby. And that baby's name was Ishmael. And one thing we was going over yesterday is that a lot of modern Arabs today trace their lineage back to Ishmael. The Arabians claim Ishmael. That's one reason. That's one of how do I say this? When you look at the word Islam, Islam is going back to Ishmael. And that's what, again, that link, that they understand and know that they are the seed of Abraham, but through Ishmael. Okay? And that's what even in the Quran it tells you that. So that's why a lot of Arabs believe that, a lot of Muslims understand that they are the seed of Abraham, but they come through Ishmael, from Hagar, Sarah's handmaid. The other wife he had, his true wife, Sarah, gave birth to Isaac. After Sarah died, Abraham remarried, and her name was Keturah. And with Keturah, he had 8 more sons. All right, so altogether, he had, that's 8, 9, he had 10 sons altogether. But as we're going to find out, that of the 10 sons that he had, the chosen lineage or seed that God was going to be dealing with or claim for himself was going to be with Isaac. Okay? So in Genesis chapter 25, verse 1, let's read that again.
Genesis 25:1. Then again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bare him Zimran, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian,
right,
and Ishbak, and Shua, and Jokshan begat Sheba, and Dedan, and the sons of Dedan were Ashram, Lishishan, and Liam.
Yeah.
And the sons of Midian, Ephah, and Ephra, and Hanat, and Abida, and Elda. All these were the children of Keturah.
All right, so again, he had, these are some of his sons and grandsons that he had with Keturah. All right, reading on.
Verse 5, Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac.
And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. That, again, his oldest son, Ishmael, was given a blessing, and he was sent on his way. And here we're saying that Abraham gave all the heirs to Isaac. Now, what about the other 9 sons? Let's read.
Verse 6. Both of the sons of the concubine, which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac, his son, while he yet lived eastward unto the east country.
And he sent them away. As far as the rest of his sons, he sent them away because it was understood, when we read Genesis chapter 17, verses 17 down, that God was going to be dealing with Isaac, that God was going to make his covenant and establish his covenant or contract with Isaac when it comes to Abraham's seed. Again, and we're getting all this because we're just reading. All we're doing is just reading the Bible. If you go to a church that you have a half a Bible, you get the New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs. A lot of these details you'll never get. A lot of these details you will never read, and you'll never get an understanding. So now, by the time we come back to John 3:16, if you never even got a grasp of Genesis, the first 3 to 5 chapters of Genesis, to see that Adam had many sons and daughters, we never got their names because there was a royal seed, a royal lineage that God was dealing with from Genesis chapter 4 and 5 all the way down. And that God, that there's been many people, there's been many families, but there was always a chosen royal lineage that God was dealing with. So if you never got that teaching, by the time you come back and just read John 3:16, you might really be under the false assumption that is talking about the whole entire world. And you haven't really got a grasp of the whole Bible because you haven't read the whole Bible. You've never been shown the whole Bible. On that, real quick, let's get 2 Timothy 3:16. If your understanding of Bible characters comes from movies, you're not, just like that, they always say the book is better. To read the book is always better than watching the movie. It's true that there's a lot of details that are in movies that you miss out on. There's a lot of details that you're just not going to get when you actually come back and read the book. And this is one thing that we encourage everybody to do. We got to read the book. We've got to read. Okay? So now we're going to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16.
2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of the Most High and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
It says all scriptures, not just the New Testament. all the scriptures. So we had to get the Old Testament and the New Testament and the books of the Apocrypha. We had to get the whole thing so we could be properly instructed in the ways of righteousness, that we might be properly corrected in how to do things or look at things the right way. If we're only going to start with half the book, you're only getting half the truth. You're not going to really get an understanding. You might get an understanding that God loves, which is true. God does love. But you never really get an understanding about who God really loves. You never really get that. You never get a chance to appreciate what that saying actually means, to be the recipient of who God loves. It's not the whole entire world. It's not everybody. It really truly is the descendants of Abraham, going down to Isaac, going down to Jacob and his 12 sons, which became the nation of Israel. Today, the so-called Negroes, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans, Cubans, North American Indians, Seminole Indians, Argentinians, Chileans, Brazilians, Colombians, Panamanians, and the so-called Mexicans. Those people are Negroid, Indian, and so-called Hispanic descent. If you have the North, Central, South America, you really are the people that God loves. You really are the people of the covenant. And this is what we want to go and prove, just by coming back now and reading. So it says, one more time.
2 Corinthians 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of the Most High, as profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of the Most High may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
That you might be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And now you can make sure that the labor you're doing is actually good in the eyes of God. The hard work and dedication that you show, the loyalty that you show, you can make sure it's put in the right place by going by the scriptures. But you've got to get, again, the whole entire Bible. You can't just get part of it. Let's get Hebrews 10:7. Let's get Hebrews 10:7.
Hebrews 10:7.
No problem. We got time, Shar. I'm broadcasting, but really it's just me and you, so it's all good.
Hebrews 10:7. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book, it is written of me.
Right, so here, Christ is letting it be known, lo, he comes in the volume of the book, and that's what the word Bible means. The word Bible is not an acronym for basic instructions before leaving the earth. That is not what the word Bible means. Right. The word Bible comes from the word biblios, which means volume of books. That's why we have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so forth and so on. It's a collection of books. It's a collection of scrolls that is called biblios. All right, that's where that word comes from, where Bible comes from, is biblios. It's a collection of books. Just like you might have for those that are a little bit older, you have a collection of encyclopedias. It comes in a whole volume of encyclopedias that are listed alphabetically from A all the way through Z or what have you. Well, Christ is telling you here that he comes in the volume of the book to help back this up. This is Hebrews 10:7. Now let's read Psalms 40:7. There are a lot of people want to say, well, the Old Testament it changed the New Testament. But once the New Testament came about, we no longer had to be under the Old Testament. I don't know who taught y'all that. Now when it says he comes in the volume of the book, the whole book, all right? Now we're going to be Psalms 40:7.
Psalms 40:7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me.
So here we see the same statement written where? In the Old Testament and New Testament. Shaw didn't misread that right there. He literally read Hebrews 10:7 and literally read Psalms 40:7. He's repeating the same thing because they go hand in hand. The Old Testament, the New Testament, and the Apocrypha, they go hand in hand. You need both to understand what God's talking about. You can't just have one part of the book. Okay? So let's get and continue on with our discourse. And as we're searching out our fathers, let's get Exodus chapter 3, verse 15 again. Now, we haven't got that today, but we're going to reiterate God's name, right? What God calls himself. Yeah, Exodus chapter 3 and verse 15. Okay, you let it go. You let it go. Yeah, Exodus chapter 3 and verse 15.
Exodus chapter 3 and verse 15. And the Most High said, moreover, unto Moses.
It's just saying Most High, but now you just say God.
And God said, moreover, unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God, your father.
The Lord God of your fathers. This is when God was talking to Moses from the burning bush. Those that might be familiar with that. These are the words that God spoke to Moses. Go and tell the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers. That right there, it starts to exclude a lot of people. If you're not a descendant of these fathers, this ain't talking to you. I know it sounds cruel and it sounds harsh, but it's a reality. If you have children and they're playing in the playground, and you go and call your kids, say, kids, kids, come here, I got a treat for you. Whose kids are you talking to? You're talking to your kids. You're the father of that seed. You're the father of those children, of your children, not everybody. Here, the Lord God of your fathers. That means you had to be a descendant of these particular fathers. If you weren't even in their bloodline, you're excluded. This ain't referring to you. Reading on. Verse 15.
The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.
And then he's being very specific about which fathers he's talking about. He ain't talking about everybody. He got very specific about which fathers he's talking about. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. If these are not your in your lineage, if these are not in your ancestry, if these three men are not in your family tree, God is not, this is who God's focus is on. This is the families of all the earth. This is the family God is dealing with. The families that came out of Abraham, down to his son Isaac, down to his son Jacob. And I know it seems like I'm kind of like being extra strict or being extra forceful about this because of how many lies have been taught about God, how many lies have been taught through religion about the Bible. That if we go back and actually read what it's saying, I mean, it's harsh. If you've been taught lies, the Lord God of your fathers, it says, go and speak unto the elders of Israel. The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He's being very specific. And notice, he did not mention a religion. He did not say the Lord God of the Catholics, the Lord God of the Baptists, the Lord God of the Methodists, the Lord God, again, read it.
Verse 15, go and gather the elders of Israel together. And say unto them, the Lord God, your father, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto you, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of Canaan, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hittites.
And have a light.
And the Havilah. And the Jebusite. Unto the land flowing with milk and honey.
Again, so he's being very specific, and he did not mention religion. And I'm going to mention these things. Again, a lot of us were raised in a religious household. And we were raised to be diehard Catholics, Baptists, Methodists, Episcopalians, Seventh-day Adventists, Methodists, the African Methodist Episcopalian Church, non-denominational. We really have been deeply rooted in these religions. But when you come back and read the Bible, God is telling you who he's the God of. And this is a particular bloodline. You can't get around that. We cannot get around that. You have to be a descendant of either Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. If you're not a descendant of them, God is not your God. Again, I know it sounds harsh, but all we're doing right now is coming back and proving this point. I had to put all these shows on the Blog Talk episode format. If you like more information, we're going to keep going over this series. Get in touch with us or what have you. Get in touch with me, 210-784-8463. We can chop it up. We can talk or what have you. And continue to go over the scriptures that the God of the Bible is the God of a very specific people, the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. Okay? So let's get now to the birth of Jacob. We got the birth of Isaac and what Abraham did with that. Now let's get the birth of Jacob. Let's go to Genesis chapter 25. And we're actually going to start at verse 19. Yeah.
Genesis 25, verse 19. And these are the generations of Isaac.
These are the generations.
And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son.
So now we're dealing with Isaac, Abraham's son. Now remember, we just read Abraham had more sons with Keturah. But who is being called his son? Isaac. These are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Go ahead.
Abraham begat Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, the wife, and daughter of the
Bethuel,
the Syrian of Kedesh Aram.
Padanaram.
The sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren.
Similar to Sarah. Whereas Sarah was barren and didn't bear kids for until she was 90, we're seeing that now Rebecca's going through the same type of situation, that her womb is now closed. But now Isaac is having to entreat or pray to the father for her to now get pregnant. Go ahead.
And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived.
All right, so now Rebekah conceived. She got pregnant. Read.
And the children struggled together within her.
Now, this is one thing we have to really, again, as we read distinctly, like it says in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, if she was barren, and then she could not get pregnant until after her husband Isaac sent prayers up to open up her womb, and the Lord was entreated and heard his prayer and let Rebekah now become pregnant. Why now, knowing that that's a blessing for her now to become pregnant, why are these children struggling and fighting inside of her womb? Some things, again, we got to look at. We have to really think about. We can't just read over this and gloss over it. That it was a blessing for her to become pregnant, that God had to open her womb. It had nothing to do with fertility drugs. It had nothing to do with gynecologists or what have you. That under God's providence, your woman got pregnant as a blessing. That children are a blessing from the Lord, not a burden. So here she gets pregnant, but now in dealing with this pregnancy, the pregnancy is not a normal pregnancy. We understand that there's Braxton Hicks. We understand that there's contractions. But these two children are literally fighting inside of her womb. And she's feeling all this. She's having to deal with all this. These two children, they're not even born yet, are struggling and fighting inside of her womb. Read on.
And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I blessed?
If it's true, I know the Lord had to bless me to come pregnant. Why am I feeling this pain? This ain't just some normal Braxton Hicks. This ain't some normal contractions. What is this? What am I feeling? What is going on? I know it was only because of God I now became pregnant, that my husband was able to impregnate. But now why am I feeling this pain? Go ahead.
And she went to inquire of the Lord.
Read.
The Lord said unto her, nations are in my womb.
She said, what you're feeling is that these two children are going to become the fathers of two different nations. Yes. Same father, same mother, same blood. But God has determined that these two babies, these two sons, are going to become the fathers of two different nations. Read.
And two manners of people shall be separated from my bowels.
And two manner of people. The two manner of people are going to be separated, not integrated, not brought together as one, having a coke and a smile. I like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. That's not going to be it. That these two babies, even inside the womb, they were fighting. Before they were born, they were struggling because they're going to be the fathers of two different nations. They're going to be two manner of people separated, even though they got the same mother, even though they got the same father, even though they share the same blood. These two babies are going to become the fathers of two different nations. Read on.
And the one people shall be stronger than the other people.
And so one nation is going to be stronger than the other nation. What would you call that? Racial superiority. One nation, this is what God said. One nation is going to be stronger than the other nation. Read.
And the elder shall serve the younger.
And now the first one to come out is going to be actually the weaker one. The first one to come out is going to be become subservient to the younger one. Reading on.
And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb.
So the prophecy was true. She actually was pregnant with twins. There were actual twins in her womb. Go ahead.
And the first came out red, all over, like in hairy garments, and they called his name Esau.
All right. And so the father, this first baby, who's going to become the father of a whole entire nation, his name was called Esau. Read.
And after that came his brother out.
So the first one come out, which was going to be the weaker one, the inferior one. His name was called Esau. Read. And then it says, after that came his brother out. Read on.
And his hand took hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob.
Now, think about this. If they were already fighting inside the womb, they're in the birth canal. They're literally coming out the womb fighting. It was never meant for these two nations to get along. It never meant for these two nations to have peace and harmony. Ebony and ivory living together in perfect harmony, maybe on a piano, but not these two nations, not these two children. It was never meant for them to get along. We know Isaac had sex with Rebecca, but who had to bless Rebecca to get pregnant? The Most High. It was never meant for these two nations to get along, to be together. Reading on.
And I was 3 score years old when she bare them.
A score is 20. So, Isaac was 60 years old when Rebecca finally got, had these two children. So from the time he married Rebecca at 40 to now actually having children was a 20-year span. This took 20 years, all right? And here now we have the birth of Esau and Jacob. Now, remember, God gave the promise to Abraham, said that Abraham's seed was going to be blessed. And of all of Abraham's seed, the blessing went to Isaac. The covenant, let me be more specific, because Ishmael did get blessed, become a great nation, and become the Arabs. He got blessed, become that, but he did not get the covenant. It went to Isaac. Now from Isaac has two sons. The first name is Esau. The second is Jacob. Let's go to Genesis chapter 28. We're going to be verses 1 through 4. And we are joined by Brother Ahmad right now. Genesis chapter 28, verses 1 through 4. And for a lot of people, again, this might be hurting the brain. And when I say that we're doing so much reading, and again, for somebody who the only Bible study you ever gotten is on Sundays, the preacher goes over three scriptures and gives a dissertation for over an hour and a half on three scriptures. You don't really get to do a lot of reading. You don't really get to a lot of what the book is actually saying. There's a lot of music. If you're in a Baptist church, there's a lot of song, a lot of music, and prayers. If you're in the Catholic church, there's a lot of kneeling and praying and bowing and there's the incense burning or what have you. But you don't actually do a lot of reading of the book. You don't actually read what is written in the pages of the Bible. And that's what we're doing right now. Again, for a lot of people, it's not ironic. It's not a coincidence that our people's attention spans have been conditioned to be short. Our people's attention spans have been conditioned that if it's not, like, again, a video game, if it's not, think about this. If you watch YouTube, which I do happen to watch a lot of, how is it you can get an ad for a product in 6 seconds? Because you have a countdown. Skip ad in how many, say, in 5 seconds. So they understand and know that within that 5 seconds, they've got to give you that much information that quickly in that 5 seconds before you hit skip ads, you can get back to whatever video you're watching. Right.
So you've got to find and that's what people start to, your mind starts to try to wonder. If you're watching the ads, it's coming from watching the ads, and then just go click on some new video or something.
Right.
So that's it for you. Like, along with 50, like, along with 10 seconds, like, just wait for the ads.
Just get past it. But these advertisers understand that they've got to get as much information to you in this 5, 10, 20 seconds as possible. So if you're conditioned now and you watch a lot of the YouTube or Instagram or Netflix or Hulu or what have you, that you're getting all this information that quick. So you're conditioning your mind to not pay attention. You're conditioning your mind to be a fast food, quick, get it to me now mentality, to where now you really can't absorb reading. Then now when we read, it really is almost painful. You have to sit there and concentrate to read, to put these things together. But this is why, we ask everybody, when you join our classes, we ask you, please, get paper and pen. And it's funny how in the age of emojis, in the age of texting, that people, handwriting is becoming foreign. You don't even have to, people can't even really sign their names anymore. It's just a scribble line on the line. You can't even, we don't even do that no more. Or it feels awkward to print your name and then write and then sign your name. It's almost awkward. My wife's a teacher, and they were saying that they're going to start phasing out cursive in elementary schools because people ain't using it anymore. It's the electronic signing. You're not even using cursive anymore. It's going to get phased out. And again, with the texting now, it's ridiculous. The shorthand that texting gives, and then not even now with the emojis coming in, even used even more, our ability to read, write, and really concentrate is really being conditioned not to concentrate, not to read. And that's not by coincidence. That is not by coincidence. So we're in Genesis chapter 28 now, and we're going to start at verse 1.
Genesis 28, verse 1.
We're going to read 1 through 4. And if you want to read, like I said, I know Char's been doing all this reading so far.
Genesis 28, verse 1.
Yep. And so Isaac called who?
Jacob.
Called Jacob. Of his two boys, he called Jacob and blessed Jacob. Just like Abraham called Isaac and blessed Isaac, out of all the rest of his brothers and sisters, Abraham called Isaac, blessed him. Now we have Isaac calling Jacob and blessing him. And we can go back and we can see where this same pattern started from Adam. It went from Adam to Seth to Enos, all the way down to Lamech, all the way down to Noah. And from Noah, the blessing went to Shem. And from Shem, all the way down to Abraham, we're seeing the same dynamic happening, that the chosen lineage, the chosen line, passes down the blessing, passes down the covenant, passes down the rulership from father to son. Here, Jacob is now, Isaac is doing the same thing. Reading on. Seeing the same blessing that was given to Abraham by being a father of a multitude and being blessed. And that blessing was to Abraham. That thing was given to Isaac. And now Isaac is given that same blessing, that same covenant to Jacob. Go ahead.
Verse 4. And give thee the blessing of Abraham.
And do what?
And give thee the blessing of Abraham.
Again. So if this is going from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, what happened with Esau? He's being excluded. But again, this seems harsh to a lot of people because you don't read the Bible. You don't read the Bible in context. You only read the New Testament, and there's a lot of details. There's a lot of things that you don't get that if you don't read even in the Old Testament, it's not going to make sense. Or if you just read the New Testament, this ain't going to make sense. But now we're seeing that again. And a lot of people from a religious background want to say, well, Abraham was the father of many nations, and all nations are blessed in him. No, all nations, they would be blessed in him if they blessed his chosen seed. Because I also said if they curse the chosen seed, those nations would be cursed. Those nations would be punished. Those nations would be judged. So here we're seeing the blessing that went from Abraham went on to Isaac, and now Isaac is bestowing the same blessing, the same covenant onto Jacob. And again, I know it's harsh for a lot of people. I know that can't be it because we never learned this in church. And my only response to that is you're right. You didn't learn this in church. You're 100% correct. And all we're doing is reading the Bible. Now we're just reading. Go ahead.
Genesis chapter 28, verse 4. And give thee the blessing of
give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee.
And give the blessing of Abraham to you. Go ahead.
And to thy seed with thee.
And to your seed with you. That right there just excluded everybody else. That's establishing who the covenant of Abraham, the blessing of Abraham, who was given to. A child from Abraham, really from Adam, to Noah, to Abraham, to Isaac, and now to Jacob. Reading on. What verse is that? All right, finish it.
That thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which the Most High gave unto Abraham.
All right, cool. From there, let's go to Genesis chapter 35 and verse 9. So now we're seeing that the blessing, when Isaac literally gave the covenant and the blessing to Jacob. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 35. We're going to read verses 9 through 12.
Genesis chapter 35, verse 9. And the Most High appeared unto Jacob again.
And the Most High, now this is the Father. The Father now appeared unto Jacob again. I didn't get the first time, but this is the second time that the Father's appearing to Jacob. Go ahead.
When he came out of Padanaram and blessed him.
And what did God do?
Blessed him.
Read.
Verse 10. The Most High said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name.
So now Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Read.
And he called his name Israel. Verse 11, the Most High said unto him, I am the Most High Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy land. Verse 12, the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land.
Again, so now this covenant, this blessing, now we're seeing that God himself has now confirmed it and given it now to Jacob, whose name was now changed to Israel. Okay? From there, let's get Genesis. I'm just getting, we're going to do various scriptures right now. Again, back at the point, throughout the whole Bible, who God is the God of. Let's get Genesis chapter 31, verse 53. We can go back and forth.
The God of Abraham and the God of Moses, the Lord, the God of their father, judged between us. And Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac.
All right, and I just want to get here. Again, Nahor was in that list from Shem down to Abraham. So again, from Abraham, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, and the God of their father, Joseph swings us. And Jacob swear by the fear of his father, Isaac. From there, let's get Genesis chapter 32, verse 9.
And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham.
O God of who?
My father Abraham.
Again, my father Abraham. How can we get around this? If you're not of Abraham's lineage, how can he be your father? Oh, God of my father Abraham. Now, we know Abraham had, again, 10 kids. Read on.
And the God of my father Isaac.
Then it just got narrowed down. And the God of my father Isaac, go ahead.
The Lord would say it unto thee.
There you go.
Return unto thy country and thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee.
And I will deal well with thee. All right? Let's get Exodus chapter 3, verse 6. I'm not going to get all of these, but we'll get some more.
Exodus chapter 3, verse 6. Exodus chapter 3, verse 6. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses
So now, I mean, if God is telling you himself who he's the God of, how can we get around that? For as much, again, this person might want to claim whatever religion that they worship, all right, cool, you worship that, but what does that have to do with the God of the Bible? Nothing. He's telling you, I mean, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I mean, if he's telling himself who he's the God of, how are you going to tell God he can't be the God of these people? All right, just a few more. Let's get Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 13.
Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 13, that he may establish thee today for people unto himself.
You know, let's start about that. Where does it actually start?
All right. Let's
see. Verse 10. I'll start 10,
cool. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 10. Ye stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your power, your captains of your tribe, your elders, and your officers, all the men of Israel.
We can't get around that. Go ahead. And again, to be a man of Israel, that means you actually came out of who? The man named Israel. The man of Israel had to be your grandfather, great-great-grandfather, or what have you. He had to be your patriarch. You can't get around that. You can't convert to being somebody else's seed. That's impossible. To be an Israelite, you have to come out of this of three men, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, bloodline. You cannot get around that. We cannot. It just can't happen. Read.
Verse 11. Your little one, your wife, and thy stranger that is in thy tent, from the hewer of the wood unto the drawer of thy water. Verse 12. Thou shouldest enter into covenant with the Lord thy God, and into his hope, which the Lord thy God will make with thee this day. Verse 13. That he may establish thee today for people unto himself.
That we might be established today as a people unto himself. Read.
And that he may be unto thee a God, a power, or a God.
You can read God for now, because again, read that again.
Verse 13. That he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, and that he may be unto thee of God, as he has said unto thee, and as he hath sworn unto thy father, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob.
So can God lie?
No.
So if he sworn himself that he would be a God to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and to their seed, can anybody change that? Let's get 1 Kings, chapter 18, verse 36.
Okay. First Kings chapter 18 and verse 36. Mm-hmm. And it came to pass, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God and Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things as thy word.
Cool. So here now we have the prophet Elijah, one of the greatest prophets in the Bible. And again, Elijah is going to be known that God is the God of who? Abraham, Isaac, and here it says Israel. All right, let's get 1 Chronicles 29, 18. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 18.
1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 18. You're all there. 1 Chronicles 29, 18. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers.
Our fathers. Who are our fathers? Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Go ahead.
Keep this forever in the imagination of the thought of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee.
Prepare their heart unto thee. Keep this in the heart of the Israelites, that he is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Israel. Second Chronicles, chapter 30 and verse 6. Verse 6. Second Chronicles, chapter 30 and verse 6. Yeah, chapter 30 and verse 6.
Second Chronicles, chapter 30 and verse 6. So the post went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, and according to the commandment of the king, saying, ye children of Israel.
Now, when it says ye children of Israel, what does that mean? You're literally the children of Israel. He literally is your father. This is a bloodline. This is a family. This is a family tree. You can't get past that. Ye children of Israel. Children of Israel is not a religion. It's not a church. These are actual blood related to flesh. The children of Israel. Read.
Ye children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the king of the king of Assyria.
All right, let's get a New Testament now. Let's get Luke 1:68.
Luke chapter 1, verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people.
This is the New Testament now. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. He has visited and redeemed his people. Again, these are the scriptures we just can't get around. Let's go back to the Old Testament real quick. And we're about to shut this down. It's almost 9 o'clock.
Psalm chapter 41, verse 13. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting and to everlasting. Amen and amen.
I mean, so the word amen means so be it. So be it. That is the end of it. We're going to end it right there. All right? And there are so many scriptures in the Bible that point to the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's so many scriptures that point to the Lord God of Israel. I mean, if a person has a problem with that, they really do have a problem with God. All right? That this ain't us twisting the Bible. It's not us just making it say what we wanted to say. We're just reading what the Bible says. And for it to repeat itself so many times in the scripture, I guess the last scripture is John 4:22. John 4:22, and we'll end it with that. It's 9 o'clock.
John chapter 4, verse 22. John chapter 4, verse 22, he
worships,
he knows not what.
Again, a lot of people worship, whatever religion, background you might come from, you worship and you have no idea what it is you worship. You really don't have a clue what you worship or why you worship what you worship. And that's a shame. And that's not done by accident. We know the devil is a deceiver. So what has the devil done? Deceived many people by the billions. That whatever religion it is you think God is with, if you can't even find that word, the name of your religion in the Bible, that should be your first hint. Maybe I'm in the wrong thing. Maybe I'm not doing this right. If your religion, the name of your religion cannot be found in the Bible, Maybe that's the first mistake. Let's read it one more time, sir.
John chapter 4, verse 22. We worship, you know not what. We know what we worship.
We know what we worship. Go ahead.
For salvation is of Jews.
Let's get, why is it that we know what we worship? Acts 17:11. You know, I'm famous for saying last scripture. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Acts chapter 17, verse 11.
Acts chapter 17, verse 11. These were more noble than those in that they received the word already in the mind.
That they received the word of God, the scriptures, with what?
With all readiness of mind.
With all readiness of mind. They were ready to receive that. The Bible is the word of God. Read.
And searched the scriptures daily.
And did what?
And searched the scriptures daily.
The reason we know we worship, because we search the scriptures daily. We're more noble. I'm just going to repeat what the Bible says. We're more noble. We know the right thing to do. We're even more bold because we search the scriptures daily to know that what we're doing is right in the eyes of God, that we're following righteousness. We're following the right thing. We're doing correctly, that we might be thoroughly furnished unto all good works because we search the scriptures daily. Read.
Whether those things were so.
To see, is this true or not? Should it be this way or that way? Should we Sunday worship? What religion should we follow? Does Jesus have a color? Does color matter? Is it Christmas trees and Easter bunnies? What should we be doing? What's the right way of doing things? Well, it says we search the scriptures daily so we might know the truth, so we might know the right way of doing things. Okay? So with that, I do want to thank everybody for tuning in. We had a few little technical difficulties, but I think we got it worked out. Today is Wednesday. Tomorrow's Thursday. The plan right now is to have class tomorrow night, but we'll see. We had to check the schedule on several things. I felt messed up that I just said we're going to search the scriptures daily. We might not have class tomorrow, but we might. Tune in tomorrow, okay? I'll send the text out for class and everything. Even if I'm not the one teaching, we're going to still try and make sure we have class going on, okay? So with that, we would thank everybody for tuning in. Don't forget to check out any of our YouTube channels, ISBHBK. Even if you type in ISBHBK on YouTube, all of our different channels will come up from Virginia, Houston, San Antonio. They all come up. You always get the Blog Talk. You can check us out on Blog Talk. And I guess our next major high holiday is coming up in September, which is going to be the Feast of Tabernacles. And I'll get the actual date so everybody can start planning for that. So we want to meet in San Antonio this year, just like we did for the Passover. We'll meet in San Antonio again this year for the Feast of Tabernacles. They have a nice little campground that they have established. We've got there with the tents and just really enjoy each other's company and keep with the laws, statutes, commandments of our culture. That one of the reasons why the Most High judged us is because we stopped keeping his holy days. We stopped celebrating what he found special in his eyes. We can come back and we get that done. So with that, my name is Mashaba.
My name is Amar.
We like to thank you all for tuning in. And with that, we're going to say shalom.